the major with the minor. As Dr. F.F. Bosser, one of my associates, recently went home to glory, of course, 100 years old. How many ever know Brother Bosser? I'm sure many people do. He used to tell me, that with Brother Bannon, what we use the divine meaning is just like the bait you put on the hook. You never show the fish the hook, you show him the bait. And when he takes the bait, he gets the hook. So that's what he's trying to use divine meaning. It's a gift of God, and then it attracts the people, and they see something happen that they know it could not happen unless God had done it. Therefore, it turns their attention around from the things of the world to God. And that's what reason say it is a faith that leads sinners, what our main purpose is here for, is to capture the unbeliever to a faith in God. That's what we want to do. Is to have the sinner converted to a living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our main thing. Next thing is to try to help the sick and needy to find help. And many of them, of course, as it is all over the world, are perfectly helpless in that. God does something for them, all of our medical science, some of them are beyond that. And I just left home yesterday, yesterday, where I've seen the Lord take a total insane person of 2 years, don't even know what is that, what their name was, or anything about it, and restore them to right mind. So the entire staff of the hospital said it never seen anymore. A total insane person, an insane young lady, 2 years. And
all right.
When you see something like that, we know it takes God to do that. That's all. You know that man cannot do things like that, and it wasn't given to man. After all, divine healing, there's only one kind of healing, and that's divine healing. No other healing but divine healing. All healing has to come through God. Psalm 103:3 said, I'm the Lord and heal all thy diseases. Medical cure, does not claim to cure. They only claim to assist nature. God is the one that does the healing. I was interviewed with Mayo Brothers, and that's what they told me there. So we do not claim to heal people. We only claim to assist nature while God heals. In other words, if you got a cut in your hand, well, they'll sew it up. They don't heal it. If you got a bad appendix, they take the appendix out, but that's all they can do. You got a broken arm, you set the arm. Who's going to furnish the calcium and what it takes to knit that bone? It takes to rebuild cells, it takes life. And life is what makes it easy. We can cut, operate, and so forth, but we cannot heal. God has to do that himself. That's the multiplying of cells. That only comes through God, is the only one who can do it. We can make a mechanical man where he can reach his hands and almost think, but he cannot build cells. That God alone does that. So he's the Lord, he heals all of our diseases. We can pull a tooth out, but who's going to stop the blood? And who's going to heal a place to come out? God does good, and he'll be healed. So, what if I was out here cranking my car? Of course, that's a long time ago, I guess. And he'll come back and model me to me now. When he used to crank the old car, what if I break my arm and I run into it? Physician, heal my arm, I got to finish cranking my car. Well, you'd say you need mental healing. Would that be right? You'd say, well, I think I can set your arm, but something higher than me has to do it. And he said it, that's his duty. That's what we all do before they accept it. But God has to heal. So I do not believe that there's such a thing as a divine healer outside of God. I believe that God is the only healer that there is. Therefore, many times people have said, Brother Branham is a divine healer. Well, I'm more a divine healer than the pastor is a divine savior. So we just preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the good news that Christ was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace is up on him, and with his Christ we were healed. There's something in the past. Christ did all for us that was required to be done, and all that can be done is already done. I believe that the only thing we have to do is to accept what he has done, what's already done. And now, a minister, any minister, has just as much right to pray for the sick or the lazy, just as much as anyone else. Because he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That they might maybe heal for the affectional fervent prayer of a righteous man of David's son. I do believe that there's power in prayer.
Yeah.
I've seen some very grim answers to prayer, but never healed anybody in my life. But I feel God is not listening to me. I believe that it's the individual's faith and a work that's already been completed. Now you say, I say here tonight, how many Christians, so many hands would go up? How many were saved last year, so many hands would go up? How many were saved maybe a week ago, and did these so many hands go up? I get it. You was not saved a year ago, and you wasn't saved 3 days ago. You were saved 1,900 years ago, it's valid. But you accepted it last year, or you accepted it last week, 2 days ago. And the same thing by Christ, you were healed. You were actually healed. Now, you can accept it tonight, or you can accept it tomorrow night, or whenever you accept it by the joy. So, it's up to you when you want to accept it upon those days. And he now is a high priest, Hebrews 3, setting up the right hand of God Almighty in heaven, making intercession upon our confession. Now, the word he's learned in the book of Hebrews is used in the King James Version, is used profess, but profess and confess is the same thing. You profess something or confess it. You profess that you believe that he was wounded for your transgressions, with his stripes you were healed. So, he's a high priest to make intercession upon our confession. And we cannot do nothing for us until first we accept it and confess it. Now we can get out the altar and pray till we lay on our faces and die. Until we believe and accept his pardon grace, we're still lost. No matter how loud we could scream, or how long we could stay, or how much we could do without food, until in our heart, the revelation, God gives us that Jesus Christ died to save us, and we accept it as our own personal property. It's something Christ did for me, did for you, and to whosoever will believe it. Then you're saved because you have believed it. And you're healed the same way. Many times people say, I like to feel if I'm healed. Jesus never did say, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? That's just saying you believe it. Healing has nothing to do with it. It's your faith. If I did the way I felt, I'd be in bad shape a lot of times. Is that right, brother? I guess we all do. But it's not how I feel, it's what I believe that he has done, not my feeling, my faith in what a finished work of Calvary. Now, in this, there's many, perhaps it's my first time of being in your city. I believe it's my first time in Virginia of ever having a service in Virginia. Around the world 7 times, and yet I've never been in Virginia. Isn't that awesome? Well, they always say you say the best and blessed. Is that what this lady knows? The best, I'm glad. We hope that that's just exactly right. For all the people like those who've met since you've been here, it's certainly a message very fine people. And maybe I've been meeting the people of just the citizens, maybe not even Christians. And what will the Christians be if the citizens are like that? Not Christians. Be wonderful. So now, a meeting can only be whatever the people will make. Now, God is willing, if we are willing, but we have our part to play. Each individual has our part to play. I can no more make a revival out of it or meeting than nothing. No one individual or no just two or three of us. It'll take all of us together, working together through the Lord Jesus Christ to see something accomplished here in this city while we're gathered together for the kingdom of God's sake. And brothers and sisters, we are living near the end. We all know that. If you've traveled with me the last year or so, you know that's true. And we're in a shaking condition. And the end times here, and these things that have been going on for the week, will be presenting them, what's happening, what's just about to happen. And if you see on your newspaper, telecast, and what more, and you'll listen from the Scripture and what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, I suppose, I believe we usually roll it around in the morning block or something like that, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you think it's about time to pull down the door so you can serve. I was just thinking about that. Usually we get out about 9:30, and then there's a prayer. So I think that the audience custodians, I guess, will tell us how long you can keep the offer open or what more. Now you must get on the phone and get to call other people. And let's tell you now the way how that we are pleased that we run with the brethren. And remember that any time that you feel that you don't have someone to be prayed for, any of these brethren here, they believe the same gospel that I'm hoping to see. And your pastor's just got as much right to pray for you as anyone else. Here we just come together. I think the drift in the scripture, the Lord says, if the people call on my name, they'll assemble themselves together, pray, and I'll hear from heaven, heal them. So we believe that prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the ear of a human being. You know, prayer will not change the mind of God. Did you know that? Sure did. Hezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet that he was going to die on that bed. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and went bitterly and asked the Lord for 15 more years of life. And God sent the prophet right back that I heard. And he stared for the time. See, when God already announced his death. But he stared it because if he prayed, so if prayer is that powerful, what can it do? My, we don't realize how great it is. Now, all along through the meeting, as each night we try to lay down the foundation. Then when someone comes in, maybe a little later on, maybe tomorrow night, and maybe next night some newcomers come in, you might see something taking place that just say, well, I just don't understand. Then if they don't, then you take the scripture and show them about it. If you ever see any action, here's the platform. Anything that I see on the platform here that's not absolutely the scripture, then your duty bound to me as a Christian is all my attention to it. Because I do believe that God does things that's not written in the Word. I believe he can do anything he wishes to, he's God. But just as long as he does what he's promised to do, that'll be enough for me. Just keep his promise. I like that. And I do believe that the Word of God is the foundation. I believe it is the Word of God. And that my stand, my life, and all my faith is based on the Word. And here's the way I want you to believe it now. That God is infinite, he's omnipresent, omniscient, and he's Almighty God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change to be God. Whatever God does one time, makes his decision, that decision has to remain forever. It can never be changed. God, if God makes a decision this year, and next year he changes that, that shows that he wasn't God. Because he's infinite, and we are finite. Now we can make a decision, I can make one tonight, and 10 minutes has to change it because I'm wrong, man, so many times. You are also, but not God. So if he ever makes a decision, then that's got to be forever his decision. It's like this. If a man ever comes to God and know he was lost and wanted to be saved, and God asked him and placed the basis upon his belief, and he saved that man, the next man comes and wants salvation, he's got to do the same for this man that he did then. He's got to act the same here as he did there, or he acted wrong in the first place. He's got to remain God. And if this is his word, then he is God. See, because this is what he said, and if he doesn't keep his word, then he cannot have his word. No man is worth any more than his word. If my handshake and my promise to my brethren isn't enough, I have to sign a lot of papers, a lot of this, that's mistrusting. You have to take me for what I tell you, and I have to take you for what you tell me. And if we cannot trust one another, then if my word's no good, then I'm no good. And if God's word's no good, then he's no good. He's no better than his word. And I'll say this, that God keeps every word that he said and ever promised. And if you'll take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise God ever made, you'll win the past. If you can just take the right attitude and believe it with all your heart. The individual, it isn't what you have to have somebody that lay hands on you with a certain sensation. Oh my, there's so many sensations to take. It couldn't be right. But God's word still is right. It's right. The sensations I have, don't know nothing about them, but to know that the Word of God. So therefore, when God says anything, it must ever remain that way. And that's the way I believe it. I've studied it, and history, and what he said, and what took place, and through the ages, the church ages, and so forth, and it just dovetails together. So I'm satisfied that he's God, and every word is true, and he keeps his word to his people. Now, the way we do, of an evening, along about an hour before the services start, so we interfere with the preliminary, we send the boys down, and give an individual prayer card. And each evening we do that, because first, here's the way we did it. When we first started out, now, for the just right this year, well, we wouldn't even have to give a prayer card to little groups like this, see. But when we had great groups with respect to still intact to play God tonight. Now, we just left Ben Daly, the day it was, ill in California, and the first night, he got over there and turned away hundreds and hundreds, and the second night doubled it more and more. We went to the fairgrounds, and there's enough people at 3 o'clock. That's what we need before you even get into the thing. Just when the meeting gets started, the people begin to hungry party, begin to see that, well, it's the Holy Spirit moving among the people. It isn't some preacher with some high super duper faith. I don't believe in those things. I believe that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and the individual ought to straighten his life up and get right with God and expect to get healed. I believe the healing is right here. The individual's got to get straight with God. All this laying hands on the sinners and telling them, like, all right, just forget about it. God will heal you anyhow. Now, I don't believe in it. I believe a man ought to clean up and get right with God and straighten up and come on and live for God and do what's right. And that's right for healing. These 31 years, I have noticed that's true, that the man or woman is ready to come straight with God, God will come straight with them. You have to straighten up with God. So then, the reason we do this, when we first started, we used to send the pastors, each pastor that was cooperating, 100 cards. Well, for his congregation, for those who would be invited, and the sick people and so forth, well, then about the first pastor, many of you have been in the meetings before, of course, I guess. About the first pastor got his group up, that settled. So it couldn't go that way. So then he thought, well, we'd give out prayer cards the first day he was there, and give everybody out prayer cards, and then, of course, that settled. If anybody comes otherwise on the first day, why, then they didn't get a chance to get the prayer, because we hadn't had several last time. So then, we went to giving out prayer cards each day. And then when we get up maybe 15 or 20, whatever we got that night, well then just on the platform of what we could get on there, then we found out the people, if they wouldn't get some number of the cards up to 15 or 20, they just throw it on the floor. They didn't want it, it wouldn't be tall. So then I thought, well, I get some little child along the front here to let him come up here and count. Some little boy like this little lad in the back here with the red on the sports coat. And I got my little Joseph over there. And I get one of those little fellows to come up and I say, can you count down here? Sister? Yes. Count. And he starts counting and she is wherever he stops. I start right there. Figure it out. Mama knows this is exactly where to help you to the for her car. So we still got human beings, you know, we're dealing with them. So then I got this one minister I got to give out cards, and then in his organization, if he didn't show just a little bit of favor, started dealing with the brethren. Then I got my brother to give out prayer cards, and before that, I got another man who picked up an outsider, and I called him selling prayer cards. So then I had to get rid of that, so I got my brother with me. And so now I got my son with me, and then two boys, one of them is one of my associates, but Gene Gold, I guess he's been introduced, his brother Leo Mercer, he's here somewhere, and my son Billy Paul, they're here somewhere. But either of those will be giving out prayer cards. Usually Billy does it himself because Leo is here. Gene stands in the recorder, and brother Leo, I think, is on the book. Now, then we get out those, and now here's the way to do it. So that each one will know. We come down here and get the card and come down before the people and mix them all up. But right up here on the platform, so you see it's hard to mix up. Therefore, whoever who's giving them out, he doesn't know who's getting what number. What did you get around and say, I got number one. That's me.
Yes, sir.
Next say, I'm number two over here. Of course, this might get one. Next to them might get 45 and 62 and so forth. You don't know where to be. Well, then, see, you say, if I get number one to 15, I might as well go home.
No,
that's not it. See, no one knows they want to come down. Wherever the Holy Spirit leads you to start, maybe from 1 to 20, or from 20 to 60, or from 90 back to 30, or somewhere like that. So therefore, we just deal with that way. It's the way the Holy Spirit has the way of working to teach you. The brain in it, I think that's just exactly, don't you, brother, you think that's it? I've been doing that now for the last, 4 or 5 years or 6, something like that. And so by and by, you get your prayer girl, hold on to it, because if you're not called on the first night, we will finally get to it at the end. Now, and that prayer card, you call it so many times, if I, the Lord leads you to do the way you just had the greatest success I ever had in America by doing it this way, just recently. And now, what time was your main service? About 7:30? 7:30. Where are you here between 6:30 and 7? O'clock, I guess. It's something like, 6:30 to 7:30. Don't make it any later than Bert comes early, she can't because it's too so many cards to give out for that. That's it. Then you get your loved ones, your 6 friends, and bring them down. Get them on the phone tomorrow. Come on down and get the prayer card tomorrow evening between 6:30 and 7:30. At the main auditorium. You don't have afternoon services in the world, I suppose. All right. Sometimes they didn't like that, they had noon service, and they had food at night. But if we are in some church or somewhere, but if they do it this way, it'll be all right. It's going down tomorrow evening between 6:30 and 7:30. And then we expect to have services each night. I'll speak each night, the Lord willing, the manager, nobody, just the boy and I are up here. And so we'll try each night to pray for the sick, call sinners to the altar, work with our brothers and everything that we possibly can to make this starting of a revival, an old-fashioned revival in Shakespeare, Virginia, that life has never done before, for the kingdom of God's sake. Every church to be filled and packed in God's servants, preaching the gospel like never before, and sinners coming to Calvary, and sick people being healed in every church, and the glory of God going everywhere. That's our heart's desire. Now, I'm glad I got this little clock over here, and I hope it's just about, it is right. So, according to my watch. So now, I want to just read a scripture and make a little talk for you tonight. And now, remember, we're up here for nothing else. We're not here to represent any denomination. Because I do not belong to any denomination, because I was ordained a missionary Baptist minister. And I pastored the Tabernacle of Jeffersonville for 17 years. And then I went on the mission field about 15 years ago. And I've been on the field ever since. And when I come out, praying for the sick, I just left the church, left the organization, because out here, I get everything all together. And then I feel that that's the way the Lord God His children everywhere, every man that's born to Him, the Spirit of God is my brother, and every woman is my sister, that's born of the Spirit of God. So I don't represent any church or organization. If I was here in the city to the convert, I'd join one of these fine churches here that believes the same thing that I believe. So that's the way I do it myself. You have your own choice to do whatever you wish. And then we're not here for money. I want you to know that. We're not here for money. No, I am 51 years old. I've been a minister for 31 years. And I have preached 17 years at the Baptist Tabernacle at Jeffersonville, Minnesota. Never struck a offering in all my life. I've preached 17 years without one penny of anything, any of the trustees to tell you that. Never struck a penny. I worked for my living. I wouldn't even do it now if I could afford to pay these meetings off. The only thing I do is come out here and hold a meeting. The only thing you have to pay the expense of the building or whatever expenses goes with the meeting is all I'm concerned about. Just pay the thing off and that's it. Don't owe me nothing. We got books, but then books I buy for books at 40% less, not because it's the money or anything, because I lose them. But get the message out to the people. The tape or from the audio mission, another group that's not with us, well, they're making the tape for the tabernacle, which they, in some kind of collaboration, rather than make the tape by. But for myself, no. Sometimes at the end of the meeting, if all the debt is paid off, they give me a love offering. If they don't have the debt paid off, they don't give me nothing. And if they do give me a love offering, I turn it back in to pay the debt. We want to leave the city without one penny being owed. If we have to spend, we'll get the money somewhere we're good. See, but we don't leave any debt. Never have yet. We want to keep our name clean and clear and in above board because we're meeting the sick people, we're meeting Satan on his grounds, and we want to have our hands clean that when we come to pray for the sick, that we'd be honest and just and nothing shady. We're standing out before God as his servants. We want to keep just fair and clean and clear for everybody. And I want you to know that there's no fools for money, there's no nothing about that. We're not here for that. And we just love you and come to fellowship with you. And as Brother Bosworth said to me one day, he said, "Brother Bannon, do you know what a fellowship is?" I said, "I think so, Doctor." I said, "I think that's well, because here's what it is. It's two fellows in one ship." And I said, "That's about your answer for it. Two fellows in one ship." So we're desiring that we can come into your little boat, and you can come into our boat, and you can have fellowship one with another while we're sustaining and crossing the city here to pull every lost soul that we can into the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads now before we speak to the altar, before we read his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to thee tonight for this privilege of spending our first time in this great state of Virginia. How many years ago our forefathers landed here. This great state has meant much to our name. Lord, I pray that somehow in this great state now that you'll break forth a revival that will be going around the world. May that come forth an issue from God, a fiery spirit of the Holy Ghost that will save the lost and heal the sick, let the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to talk. Sinners be saved in the kingdom of God, every church just illuminated with thy presence. Until around the world they'll hear from this great meeting. Now we can ask for it, Lord, and believe it. Now help us to work for that end. For it would be so unnecessary to ask anything and not work for it. Believe that you'll do it. We'll wait with expectations that you will grant to us. And when the service is closed on that Sunday afternoon, may there be a pile of wheelchairs laying in the corner there, cot stretchers. May there be sinners washed in the blood of the Lamb with their hands up in the air, praising God. May the clergy, your precious shepherds who feed your sheep, may their hearts be so on fire that the new ministry be given to them. Grant it, Lord. Bless every church and every minister throughout the country. Every saint and save the sinner. As we approach thy word now for just a little foundation to start the meeting on tonight, we pray that you'll bless it. We know that our words will fail, but your words will not fail. So as we read your word, we pray that you'll interpret it to us by the Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, don't forget now, get on the phone. Somewhere, get the sick people out, those who are really in need, and a prayer card will be given by you. You must obtain a prayer card to have a number on it, a letter and a number. Each evening, those prayer cards will be given out. And from 6:30 until 7:30, and then they'll be called with those numbers. That's to keep the people from rushing up. And it isn't a reading, you know, it's a church. And it must be done in order. As Paul said, be seen in order. And so we want just to come as their numbers are called and minister to you at the time. Now, these prayer cards are not interchangeable. You have to maintain your own heart. You can't take it to the neighbor and bring your neighbor. The neighbor must come and hear the instructions in order to get the call.
Yeah.
Because many times that way, if you bring people in the prayer line, know nothing about God, and there you are. And so let them come and hear the instruction and have their own faith built up with you, and you receive the healing as we pray for the sick. Now, be tomorrow afternoon now between 6:30 and 7:30. I wish to read from St. Luke, the second chapter, 25th and 26th verses. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. I like to use for context or for a text as to build a context on expectation. Now, such meetings draw expectation. And when you see something unusual going on, we usually have three classes of people that attend those services, like it was in the days of our Lord and all time. There is the unbeliever, the make-believer, and the believer. It just attracts those attention. It's always seen. But expectancy, that's a great thing. To expect something, you usually get what you expect. Some people come to me and say, well, I didn't expect it. It ain't any out of the hope. They won't. But those who expect to get something, God will give them their expectations if they're doing it reverently and in the fear of God. Now, always to find out something first is to find whether it's the will of God or not. And then if it's the will of God, then your objective to it, and then your motive in doing it. If it's the will of God and your objective is right and your motive is right, it's got to happen. You just know where to keep it from happening. So first find the will, if it's God's will. And then what's your objective of yours? If it's selfish, you'll never get it done, that's all. It's got to be real clean and clear before God or it just won't happen, that's all. You got to always keep that on your mind. It's got to be clean and clear. Your cup must be clean and clear before God, or God cannot work with it. Now, man of all times is always has heard of God. And wherever God is, supernatural is, because he is a supernatural God working supernatural things. You believe that? Now, in the Old Testament, they had a way of finding out whether a message is right or not. Under the Levitical priesthood, they had what they called the Urim and Thummim. And that was the breastplate that Aaron had here. He had the 12 triangle stones in the breastplate. And they hung that on the corner or the post in the temple. And then when the prophet prophesied, or the dreamer told his dream, and when he was cutting it, if that light became a conglomeration of light, like a rainbow reflecting off of that Urim and Thummim was showing that the supernatural was there, then that prophet was telling the truth, or that dreamer's dream was right. However, no matter how real it sounded, I keep this in mind, no matter how real it sounded, if that Urim and Thummim didn't make the supernatural light, they could not receive it because it wasn't God. So when you see anyone preaching the gospel that God doesn't come down and confirm that to be right, you leave it alone. But it's not right. God still remains God. He lives today just as much alive as he ever was. He's God. Now, when that priesthood was done away with, then we got the new priesthood. And now there has the new Urim and Thummim that also is this priesthood. And that is God's Word. God's Word is God's Urim and Thummim. That if God promises anything in the Bible, and you can accept it with all your heart and believe it to be so, you'll see the supernatural of God's Word take place and manifest the thing that you have believed for. No matter what it is, if you believe it, the Word of God is the seed, the soul is in the human heart, and if there's nothing there to hinder, just like when God makes a decision, this is ultimatum, and if you have an ultimatum, God's just the same, when that two comes together, something, God's done happen. It just can't be from that. See? When the ultimatum is the same as God, then something must take place. God makes a statement, it's got to be that. Then when you take your stand that that is true, something has to take place. It's just the gospel. And man, all ages, when they have heard the voice of God speaking to them, they have seen the supernatural, and they have expected and lived their life expecting this to happen, and never did it ever fail. Abraham expected that baby to come. Even down to 25 years after it was promised to him, he was still expecting it, just the same when he was 100 years old as he did when the promise was made in 75. And the Bible said that he never got weak, but he got stronger all the time. Believe God could. Could you imagine an old man, now 75 years old, and a woman of 65, she was barren and he was sterile, and here they went out now to go down to doctors, the hospital, to make arrangements for a bed, they're going to have a baby. Yep. A 65-year-old woman and a 75-year-old man. What would the doctor say? Poor old couple, a little off at their head. Well, now, anybody that really takes God's word, that faith does it, is considered a little off at the head. Because it's so supernatural, the natural world doesn't know nothing about it. It's foolish to the carnal mind. So you'll never understand it. But Abraham believed it. He said it's true, and he believed it. Well, I can hear that he would say to Sarah, now we're going to have this baby. He said, well, because God said so. She bought up the bird eye and the pins, she got everything ready, and made the booty, was all ready. And after the first so many days, 28 days, how you feeling here? No different, honey. Praise God, we're going to have it anyhow. First month passed, no different. Second month, second year. How you feeling, darling? No different. Glory to God, it's going to be a bigger man than it was 2 years ago. 3 years old now. And when 25 years have passed, he still has the same attitude. It's the same that calls God said so. How do you know? God said so. That's it. God said so. That's the word he said that. See? He said so. And at 100 years old, he still believed God. And God was good. The Bible said in Hebrews 4 that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong giving praise to God. And we are supposed to be Abraham's seed. For we who are dead in Christ are Abraham's seed. Is that right? The Holy Spirit makes us Abraham's seed. Sure. Abraham was a Gentile. Yeah. But it wasn't in our Gentile. It was his faith in God's word what made him to be the heir of the promise. And we being dead in Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs with him according to the promise. I tell you, that's true, we are. But sometimes we don't have that. Sometimes we go into, well, we'll be prayed for and we'll see what happens. Well, I don't feel a bit different. Abraham. That's a poor excuse for him. He's for a church member. Let alone be Abraham. See, Abraham, you don't look at those circumstances, you look at the Word of God. That's all. Just some time ago, I was called to a bedside about 10 years ago, it's been about 12 years ago now, to a dying boy, dying with black hysteria. And the doctor wouldn't let me go in. He said, I can't let you go in. You're married. And the doctor was telling himself. And I said, now, if the priest came and this boy was dying in here and you knew he said he was going to die tonight, and you, would you let that priest go into the church? Give him the last rites? Yes, sir. And I knew what my background Catholic too. So I said, I knew he would do that. And I said, well, he said, yes, but he's not a married man. He's got children. You've had just the children, you've got your little children. I said, yes, sir, that's true. But I said, my faith in God. He said, well, let's get out. And I said, well, look, I'm just as much to that boy in there, according to his father and mother's finger, as a priest would be to you if you were dying. See, I said, just as much. Our faith looks at God just the same way. Finally, he dressed me up like a suit club and let me go in. So I went in to pray for the boy. And the boy was there, a little nurse went over with us. The old father and mother knelt across the other side of the bed. They had him pulling his bag back and forth in it, and artificial respiration. And they said, I knelt down and prayed. It was a common little prayer. They laid hands on the boy and said, Lord, you promised that you would do this. His father and mother believed this, so I'm laying my hands upon the boy. And you said these signs will follow them to believe if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Therefore, Lord, in my heart I believe that you keep your word, and so does his father and mother. It is finished, Father. Thank you. Raised up in the old dad, grabbed the mother, and the mother grabbed the daddy, and began to hug one another, and Christ said, isn't it wonderful, huh? Isn't it wonderful? The boy never made a move. He'd been unconscious every day. and said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful?" And I said, "The Lord bless you all." And started walking out the room. And I went on out, and they, I'm taking it all off on me out there so I could go on. And then the little nurse came up and she said, "Listen," she said, "I just can't understand." She's just a girl. "But I can't understand. You see some kind of a cartogram or something that said, if that ever drops down at a certain place, that all the history is never been known to ever rise again." And said, "The only thing keeping that boy here is weeping all the time," said, "he's just dying. He's just dying right now." And said, "When he, that man made that prayer for that baby, for that boy," said, "he's not 12 years old, 14, said, "you," said, "it didn't change him a bit." "That he's not changed one bit." And said, "that needle's still hanging right down here," said, "he's just like he was." And said, "it never can come up no more because it's down, and that's all." And the old one said, with the needle, fatherly like, put his arms around the little nurse and said, "Oh, my precious child." He said, "The Lord bless you, honey." He said, "I don't want to make fun of you because, and I wouldn't disagree with what you're saying." He said, "but you see," said, "well, you've been trained to believe that when that needle or hand or what it is goes down there, that it can never come back again." She said, "sir, that is the truth." She said, "it cannot come back again." She said, "the boy is gone." She said, "he's just barely here." She said, "he takes us off and he died right now." He said, "honey," he said, "you're looking for that needle." That's right. See, she had just asked, he said, "how can you let him go on like that and your boy dying?" He said, "he's not dying. But he's healed." He said, "well, how can we expect that in that needle?" He said, "honey, that's all you know to look at, that needle, but I'm looking at a promise." That God made him. And that boy has got two children and an after today missionary. Oh, it depends on what you look. He was expecting it to happen because he had met God's requirements. He laid the boy on the altar. Medical science had done all they could do. Everything was past any physical aid that could be given the boy. So he comes to God and believed that God would do him. And the Bible said he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's right. You seek him with all your heart and get under business, God will be there to meet you. That's right. But you have not to kind of slough way through. You've got to come right straight to God and confess everything and lay it out. And come on those grounds and God will meet you there. He'll be there for you. He'll answer your prayer. Every man that ever believed in God or heard God's voice expected him to do something. When God spoke to Noah in the Old Testament, now there's never been any rain on the earth. While there was, God watered the earth up through before the antediluvian destruction, while he watered it through irrigation up through the earth, there never rained. And God spoke to Noah and told him to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. That it was going to rain. Rain was going to come out of the skies, and the whole earth was going to be covered with water. And Noah was expecting that to happen. If he would not have expected, the first critic come by, he would have said, "well, I guess maybe I was wrong. It wasn't God." See? So he had went away. Now, that's about the way that the 1961 birth of the church would happen. But that's not really a real born-again Christian. When God says so, we expect it to be that way. God said it, and that's what it's going to be. It's got to be that way. He said, "you know, while we are the way we are today, how the church is lukewarm, this Laodicean church age, why, God said it would be that way. You can't expect nothing else. It's got to be that way." That's right. But he's got all that he loves, he chastens and rebukes, not stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, that's the address of this church age by God in the Bible, Revelation 3rd chapter, to the Laodicean churches. Now, we notice that Noah was prepared, a step an ark, moved by fear, and made an ark. Could have had Noah preaching to the unbelievers. But he was expecting God to keep his promise because he had heard the voice of God telling that it was going to rain. Now, if you can sit right where you are now and so consecrate yourself to God and expect God to do something, hear the voice of God whisper down your heart, you don't have to wait for a prayer for tomorrow night. This is the time of the end. That's all. If settled, there'd be nothing to be able to shake you from that. If you've never received the Holy Spirit and you say, "Lord, I've sought the Holy Spirit for years, but I just heard a voice tell me I'm going to get it right tonight." That settles it. That's it. You'll be so expecting it'll have to happen. Now, Noah was stood there pounding away on that ark because he was expecting it to rain. Why don't you take a moment to find the critic coming by and say, well, now, just a moment, sir. Mr. Noah, you tell me it's going to rain.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm a scientist, a bad scientist. Scientists come from Cain group. So he said, now, we're scientists, and we'd like for you to show us where that rain is up there. Now, faith is not what you can see, but it's the substance of things hoped for that everything is not seen. God said so. We don't have to prove nothing. Proving is nothing. You can't prove God. You can't even prove you got a mind. That's true. You can't do it. But if you let me see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, or hear it. You ever feel your mind, see your mind, taste your mind? See, the senses won't declare it. But yes, you've got one. You know you have. And that's just the way it is by God. You say, how do I know I got a mind? I see the way I act. I know the way that something changed me from a sinner to a Christian. I got a God. And I know it is. It's real. Just you feel as your mind is, or any other sense that would operate. Now, notice, there are five senses that we enter the human body. Five senses. The soul has five outlets too, which is of consciousness and so forth and imagination. But there's only one entrance to the spirit. That soul, body, spirit, and the spirit, and that's down the avenue of self-will, which puts every man and every woman on the same basis it was in the Garden of Eden. You want to do, you got your free moral agent to act any way you wish to, and none of these other senses has anything to do with it, neither soul nor body, but it's through the spirit on self-will. God told that the day you eat there, the day you die. Now, he could eat and live, or he could eat and die, or stay away from him and live. That's the same way we are tonight. We can take his word and be healed, or we can leave it, walk away from it, and not be healed. We can have eternal life by believing on him, or we can walk away and not have eternal life. It's up to you. Self-will. And when Noah heard the voice of God telling him that it's going to rain and the clouds are coming and it's going to rain and never had this in all the ages, but it's going to rain, Noah knew this, that God was creator of God, that he could do anything he wanted to do, and therefore he was God and there was nothing else to him. He just knew that he was able to make rain up there if there wasn't any up there. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provided himself a sacrifice. So God can make rain if there's no clouds up there, no rain up there. If he said it's going to rain, Noah said, I'll just build right away on this ark anyhow. For he was expecting it to rain. And when he got the ark built, everything was in order. It rained because he was believing. Now, it makes you act funny when you really take God at his word. And when you're acting like you expected. I've seen people come to the platform and say, well, look, I'm sick, man. Don't you know it? Well, sure, I know you're sick. All right. Well, can you do something? Well, you'll never get it that way. No, sir. And if you'll pray for him, lay hands on him, walk off platform, don't feel a bit different, huh? You won't. That's one thing, sir. You won't. Now, you wasn't expecting anything. You got the platform and follow out God's instructions just the way God said. Thank God, already got expectation. Yes, sir, I'm going to receive it. It's already done. I did what God told me to do, so that's better. That's the way. That's Abraham. Now, we'll take another Moses. Moses, oh, he was a trained theologian. He really knew, because he could teach the Egyptian wisdom. He was so smart. And he knew that he was born, raised up to be a deliverer of Israel, so he thought he could take his theological training and really go out there and do it. But he found out he was a failure. And when we try to educate the church to fellowship, when we try to educate the people to Christ, we are just batting the air. We'll never get there. There's only one way that a man or woman can come to Christ. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ for being born again. That's the only avenue that we can walk. When you come into that, then you receive genuine Holy Spirit faith that makes all anything contrary to God's promise as though it wasn't there. No matter what the circumstances is, how sick you are, what the doctor said, he give you up, you're going to die with cancer, you got heart trouble, might go at any minute. You don't even look at that, you look at what God said. You say, right there on what God said. He said that, that settles it all the time. I can't bluff it, you've got to really believe it. You say, oh, yes, I believe it. Oh, I've seen people say that in the faith position, couldn't die. They just simply just worked up It's hope instead of faith. Genuine faith don't take no for an answer. It's got hairs on the chest. It's big and burly. It's beating everything else. Set it down. That's all. Here's the old, you know, feeling trees. They say, you don't feel any difference. You just, you say, shut up, faith will. Put down. Gospel. That's it now. Well, your stomach's still hurting. Shut up. Don't even feel it. That's it. Don't be sure. Just listen to what God says. God says so faith leads it. You can just hold faith on it. Let faith take over. It makes the rest of them just look like little dwarfs. It just makes them sit down because he's the boss. Got great big brawny muscles. Not that you, everything else, all feelings and superstitions and little isms and things, just sit down when faith takes over. He's the boss. That's right. Now, And Moses thought that he had that. So when he went in his own way and he found out he made an error, he went back and married a beautiful little Ethiopian woman and had a son back there, Gershom. He had settled down to a good life to raise his sheep and knew he'd be heirs and Jethro would die and he'd have all the herds and cattle, and so he was pretty well satisfied. But one day, he's walking back on the backside of the desert and something happened that never did happen in the center. There was something that happened that he'd never heard of before. He seen a bush burn. He went aside to see what it was. And a voice spoke out of heaven, "Take off your shoes, Moses. The ground you're standing on is cold." Oh, my. I've heard the cries of my people. I've seen their affliction. I remember my word. I remember what I told Abraham. What is seed with sojourn for 400 years in a strange land? That time's up. I remember my word. All right, Moses, I'm sending you down. Could you imagine a man so cowardly that he runs from the nation, got in trouble for killing one man, and runs from the nation, went back down to the power of God and killed a whole nation? Never got in trouble. See? Goes to show where you're doing it in God's will or out there in your own will. See? What you can do is get in trouble with your own self and just let loose, let God do it. That's the way to do it. So here he was the next day, you talked about something radical. You can see Moses the next day now, having been an old sheep herder. He's 80 years old, perhaps a long white beard, and his head bald, and a little crooked stick in his hand with a mule with his wife sitting saddle with the young one on her hip. Here she's going down like this, there's a hooping and a hollering, going down, glory to God, going down to Egypt. Where are you going, Moses? Going down to Egypt to take over. Yes, sir. What, a one-man invasion? Yes, sir, that's God. Wow, how do you know you're going to have God this though? That's it. I heard his voice and expected him to do it. Right. Look silly, somebody, that poor old fella. A one-man baby, going like one man going to whip Russia, see? But he did it because God said so. And he was expecting God to keep his word. Amen. I'm expecting God to keep his word with us. God to keep his word with any man that'll take his word and say, it's mine. God's made his promise. I'm expecting you to do it. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm standing right here. Like Buddy Robinson when he was plowing his old mule out there one day and the mule ran away and he hit him on the ear and he's trying to preach sanctification. And he said, I'm not a pretty little thing, just mule hair all in my teeth and preaching sanctification. And so he got out of the seat and said, Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost when you come back, you'll find a pile of bones laying around here. Now he got the Holy Ghost, so that's the second blessing is all his sanctification. So now that's the way when you get that to God, this is it. This challenge. God is head to it. That's all. Doctors have done everything for me they can. I'm a hopeless case in the hands of medicine. I'm a hopeless case in the hands of the hospital. There's only one. I'm giving you myself. I'm in your hands now. God, I'm on your hands. Amen. Stay right there. Something will happen then. Something fixes to happen. When you hear that voice of God tell you, you're mine. I own you. I've bought you with my blood. I'll buy my stripes. You were healed. Oh, brother. I'm telling you, something's fixing to happen when you do that. Yeah, it'll make all the people say, why, Lucy, Nettie, Martha, Mary, well, you know, they've lost their mind. I tell you, they went up to a meeting up there in the morning, and now you know she was dying of cancer. The doctor said she can't get well. And here she's going to do an overwar. She gets to singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, walking around there carrying on like that. Well, the poor woman's gone crazy. No, she just took God at his word. She acts crazy to the people, but obeying what God said. Right? Exactly. Moses did that. Here he goes. Could you imagine?
This old fellow limping on, but here he goes.
You behind.
Glory, hallelujah. Where are you going, Moses?
Going down to Egypt. Going to take over. Boy, I got to take over 80 years old, going down to the best mechanized army there was in the world. That's the whole world conquered. Going down 80 years old with a wife and a kid. It's far away from her. Probably sitting on her hip, and here she goes down there, leading this old mule, going down to take over, and he did it. Yeah. Why? She was expecting him. Why? God said so.
That's it.
God said so. That was John, when he walked out there, and he's standing on the banks of the Jordan, standing preaching, and the priest across the bank said, "Do you mean to tell me now, come a day when the daily sacrifice will be taken away from the temple, and there won't be any more sacrifices, obligations, all that?" He said, "There'll come a day that there will be one come that will be the sacrifice." "Oh, get that to yourself, preacher. What's the matter with you? There'll be no such a time as that." And he started to look. He said, "Behold!"
Amen.
All
right.
"Behold! The Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world." Why? He was expecting him. Because he said, "He that told me in the wilderness to go baptize the water, but upon whom I will see the Spirit of sinning and remaining on, he's the one that will baptize the Holy Ghost and fire." That's the one. He was expecting to see him. He said, "I knew him because there was the sign of the Messiah above him, a light above him, and I knew that was the Messiah." And he was expecting to see him. Whole church, we ought to be expecting to see God do something. We ought to expect to see a citywide revival, a shaking amongst the people. Certainly, the promise to us. We believe it. You believe with me. If we put our hearts together and believe, something's going to happen. It's something. Expecting it. Certainly. Oh, how we could go on, huh? We could just go on with different ones, but let's get to singing now and closing next few minutes. Singing. He was a great man. I read on him not long ago. He's around somewhere, he's 80 years old, an old sage, well liked amongst the people, but always has been a spiritual man. And so one day he comes out saying, "I'm not going to die till I see the Lord Christ."
Amen.
I could you imagine? You say, "How do you say that, Simeon? What makes you say that? You're going off on the deep end. What kind of ism have you got into?"
None.
"Why? What makes you say that?"
"The Holy Ghost told me."
"The Holy Ghost revealed it to me."
Amen.
"That I wasn't going to see death until I see the Lord Christ, and I believe it."
That's all. Amen.
Well, I'm telling everybody, no matter how great his name was, he didn't have to be a blue blood, but he just, I don't care what he was, he still believed that the Holy Ghost was right. Now, there's no two Holy Ghosts, there's only one Holy Ghost. That's right. And he was led by the Holy Ghost, revealed to me by the Holy Ghost. And the same Holy Spirit that revealed it to Simeon can reveal it to you. The promise that he made. There it is. Now we find him. Here he is going around telling everybody, "Yep, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die until I see the Lord Christ." I hear the congregation saying, "Poor old Simeon. It's such a pity, poor old fellow. You know, he's kind of a little bit, he's got one foot in the grave right now, 80-something years old, ready to die. Look, even come back from the day of Adam, he looked for the Christ. Look, David looked for him, sang of him, prophesied of him, and all this. And here this old man, now we're farther away from it than we ever was in all of our life. And here this old man, with one foot in the grave, just about to go, and here he goes around amongst the people saying, "Nope, I'm not going to die, we'll see the Lord Christ, he's right at hand." How do you know the Holy Ghost told me so? He was expecting it. That's right. Expect it to be done. Well, if you expect it to be done, then it's going to be done. Just like I've often said, when the deep calls to the deep, David says the noise of thy water spouts, the deep calling to the deep. There's something about something that you long, something that's in your heart. I love the seams, and I love honey. I go up in the mountains since as a little boy. Climb up there and watch that sun go down in the evening. Watch it rise in the morning. See that great eye of God look like move across through there? Watch springtime coming down. The little seeds that was buried on that snow here a few weeks ago. Burst run out. The pulp run out of them. There's nothing left. No seed, no pulp, no stalk, no petal, no nothing left of that flower. Even the seed, it fell off of it. You know God has the field possession for his flowers? Did you know that? Sure. The frost hits the little flower, young or old, it bows its little head and dies. That's death. And now that little flower drops a little black seed on the ground. Then here comes September, October comes along, and the teardrops begin to fall out of October rain, you know, and buries it in the ground. Funeral procession, see? And it lays there all through the winter, and it rots. And then the breeze comes and bursts the little seed open, the pulp runs out of it. And you might get a handful of that dirt and take it down to the laboratory. You couldn't take any chemicals in the world and ever find that germ alive. But it's there somewhere. Life. It's hidden. You can't find it. But just let the sun bring forth all bodily life. Now, when that sun begins to shine, that life will come forth again. I tell you what, just lie here and lay your concrete walk this year. Just lay it down through the yard. And where's your grass to stick it at the next year? Where's it anytime? Right under the edge of the wall. Why is it? It's that life that's laying under that concrete. And when that sun goes shaded from it, when that sun begins to shine, that life will work its way right around and gets out the end of that sidewalk and stick its head up to praise God. While the sun is shining, it's the master, it's the life giver, the all body life. If no matter where it's at, it'll shine forth again. That life will keep working its way till it finally gets out of there. Parades its head and glorify God. Then how can anybody not believe in the resurrection? Oh, why not S-U-N of God, but S-O-N of God. Eternal life. You might bury it in the sea, you can bury it on anything you want to. But when that S-O-N begins to shine forth and it's coming, everyone that's dead in him has eternal life will rise and go with you to the church as I'm sending you this pulpit tonight. A year not long ago, there was a little boy in our city that the teacher told his mother, said, "Jeff, look at this kiddo." Said, "He just eats the razors off the pencil just as fast as you get them for him. Eats the razors off." And then his mammy found him out breaking the pedal off of a bicycle on the back porch. Just had him a gastronomical jubilee, just eating a pedal off of a bicycle. Well, they picked the little fellow up and took him down to the clinic to have him examined. The doctors looked him over and took an analysis of his body, and come to find out the little fellow, his body was calling for sulfur. He is sulfur in there. His body was calling for sulfur, and sulfur is in rubber. So that's why he was getting on that rubber. Now, before there could be something in there called for sulfur, there had to first be a sulfur to respond to that call, and there was going to call for sulfur. In other words, before there was a tree to grow in the earth, there had to be an earth first for the tree to grow in, there had been no tree. Before there's a fin on a fish's back, there had to be a water first in the swim area, he never had no fin. See? That's right. In other words, there has to be a creator to create the creation. And when in your heart, how many things have I mean? Raise your hand. Well, now as sure as you believe in divine healing, there's something in your inside you here telling you there's a God to heal. And before that, even that creation could be in you, there has to be a creator to create the creation. Amen. That's it. The very reason that you're here tonight, the very reason that this meeting's going on, proves that there's a fountain open somewhere of divine healing. Hungry heart. I stood in Africa recently where we have 30,000 converts one afternoon. See, 25,000 healed at one time, 7 vandals. Long as across this building almost go away. Next morning there stood 25,000 people walking down the streets with their crutches and everything laying in there, and old cops and things that brought them in, walking down the different tribes associated together, singing "Only Believe All Things Are Possible." And there you see, and I sit in the hotel there and just cry like babies. And see, damn blanket natives the day before didn't know which is right and left hand. Here they was, lovely Christians. Healed by the power of God in one moment of time. Why? They've seen something happen, and as soon as they've seen it happen, something sprung to them, and they said, "It's me too!" And when they had the opportunity, they accepted it in the way they went. That's all there is to it. See? There first has to be a creation, or creator, to create a creation to make you long and believe in God. And when it does, as sure as you believe in that shows there's a fountain of divine healing somewhere. That's right. It's got to be. And the Bible speaks and says that it's His Holy Spirit that leads you. The same Holy Spirit that led Simeon to believe that is the same Holy Spirit that leads you to believe in divine healing. No two Holy Spirit.
Just one. That same Holy Spirit that revealed to him that he wasn't going to die until he came to Lord's Christ. That same Holy Spirit speaks to you. There is a power of God that heals the sick. See? Oh, is it plain? Well, you couldn't make it any plainer. See? There is a power of God that heals the sick. See? Well, the doctor said, I know this gentleman. That's very fine. I pray for them all the time. I do not condemn the doctor. No, sir. He's God's servant. He works on the people. But there's some things that he don't know. And some things that he can't do. Then if we can't do, let's go to the specialist, you see, the great one, the great physician, and go to him. We're invited to come. He asked us to come. He's looking for us to be there. That's fine. He's expecting us. And that's the reason he's revealing himself to you. I'm the Lord, and heals all thy diseases. I'm Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah the healer, the Lord that heals all thy diseases. Something tells you in your heart, that's right, I believe that. Well, that's the same Holy Ghost that said the same thing. You're not going to see death until you see the Lord's Christ. How many sick people here believe you're going to get healed with this thing? Raise their hand. Yeah, I believe I'm going to get healed. My loved ones and so forth are going to be healed, all right? That's fine. See, something's revealed to you. What? The same Holy Ghost. Are you expecting it? Expect it to happen? How many believe we're going to have a great healing? Raise their hands. I believe we're going to.
All right.
So do I. See, what is it? Holy Spirit revealed it to us. Amen. I believe we're going to see the power of God. Don't you believe that?
Sure.
Holy Spirit reveals it to us. We believe that. And we just stay right with that. Now, you know, they didn't have television then. They thank God for that. So then they come. I believe in pure holiness. I believe them. Really, I'm. You see, here we see I was a Baptist a while ago. I'm a Pentecostal Baptist. I'm a Baptist that received the Holy Ghost. That's right. I believe in old fashioned Pentecostal, Bible, sin, killing religion. Yes, sir. I believe in gun barrels straight and preaching the same way. Living the way you preach. Just jump as high as you live. That's just right. If you can't live very high, then don't jump very high. Make you jump equal with your life. And I believe that should be that way. That's when God will honor His word. It's either right or wrong. And I believe that God said, prove all things, and it's proved to me that it's right. Well, I believe it. Amen. Now, notice this. I want to ask something. Now, not to begin the ministers are the ones to do the preaching. I come here for healing service. But I want to ask something in the face of civilization and all fairness and fact. Do you notice our women in Pentecost and everywhere else? Each year take off a little bit more clothes, a little bit more clothes, a little bit more clothes. Until it becomes almost a disgrace.
Amen.
Now we can expect that our people out of the world, they don't know no difference. But there are Pentecostal people. And I want to say something. I stood there where I see 30,000 blanket ladies receive Jesus Christ at one time. Then women stand there just as naked and come in the world young and old. Nothing but a little cloud of feet hanging in front of them about that day. Never know they were naked, know nothing about it. Right on the ground where they seen this meeting taking place in this sign of God going to it more tomorrow night. To see that taking place. They wanted to receive Christ. And I said, ask all that believe that He will save you. Let them stand up. 30,000, well, they tagged 30,000. I don't know how many stood, but 30,000 stood up. And Brother Bosworth, and then said, I believe Brother Brandon that they meant physically. And I said, I did not mean to have 15 interpreters. You know, so I said, I did not mean physical healing. I meant salvation, that you accept Christ, God's Son, as your personal Savior, and you want to serve Him. Many of the idols in your hand. I said, you that sincere about it, break your idols on the ground like a dust storm. Just go up like that. And as soon as they receive Christ, that naked women, brother, sister, they folded their arms like this to walk out of presence of man. And if a wrong heathen that knows not right and left hand as Jesus Christ touches them, realize that they're naked, and then we claim to be a church of the living God and shipping ourselves every year? It don't make sense to me. There's something wrong somewhere. Right.
Amen.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're in Laodicea. That's where we're at. We're way down the line near the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, let's be ready to meet Him. Yes. Yes, sin in. As I said, they didn't have the television. While I was on that, I made a remark something on that one time, and the lady said to me, and talked about the way women dress themselves a little low, form change clothes and things. And so she said, I said, if you do that, you'll answer at the day of judgment for committing adultery. And somebody called my hand on it. I said, Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman who lusts after her has committed adultery with her already. And you might be as pure as a lily, your husband, your sweetheart. You might be just as virtuous a woman as there is in the United States. You're just as virtuous as you was when you come from your mother's womb. But lady, if you dress yourself like that to let sinners look at you like that, he's going to lust after you, and when he does, at the day of the judgment, when he answers for his adultery, you're the one who presents yourself to him.
There
you are. So you're going to answer for committing adultery. Some of them said to me, he said, well, Brother Ben, that's the only kind of choice they make. I said, you still got stone machines and sell goods before you choose to die. It's just the same. Right. What we need today is a good old fashioned, God used 10 churches and an old thing called the Bible and the Bible of the Holy Ghost, and that's the real getting gospel messages a year. Back to the truth. What it is today, so many of the pastors in the field, evangelism becomes a meal ticket to them. They have to speak programs and sponsor, they can't say that before the church. Some ministers told me, said, you're going to ruin your ministry to that. I said, any minister, the Word of God will ruin, ought to be ruined and kicked out. Anyhow.
Yes, sir.
I said, what we need is back to the Bible, back to the real holiness, back to God. That's the only people can have faith. How can God build his church upon a foundation like that? We've come our churches and made organizations and we've belonged to them and settled right down like the rest. Now we used to say the old cold form of Baptist, and now the Baptist say you cold form of Pentecostal. That's right. That's exactly right. Pentecostal cold form of the Baptist. Yes, sir. So there we are. What we want is a good old fashioned shaking revival across the country. Bring men and women back to God. Why, the church is in better condition for Jesus to come 40 years ago than it is today. In fact, they had real Pentecost amongst the people. But today, we've weakened their way in our pulpits. This has got weakened 4 or 5 rounds of little seminary ministers that come in with kinky hair, you know, or what. Well, I'm thinking about that because I haven't got any, but that's what makes it easy. But what I mean to say, they get that in a way, just like God had grandchildren. God don't have no grandchildren. You know, Methodist, if you're a Methodist and born again, you're son of God. But what do you find? When they come along, the first round of Methodists is fine. Second round, they get to bring in their children. That's the same thing the Pentecostals did. A few years ago, they had real Pentecost. Men and women who got off the altar and paid the price and come through, brother, and live the life. Yes, sir. Well, what they do, they brought their children in, set them on the road, and dedicated them in the church, and they were Pentecostal. That's grandchildren. There's no place in Bible where God's got grandchildren. He ain't grandpa, he's God, he's Father. Hallelujah. And every man and woman, I don't care how you do, how good your father and mother was, you've got to have that same experience of being born again if you're the Holy Ghost. You're respectfully a son and daughter of God. Right. It's the word of Pentecost. Pentecost is not an organization. Pentecost is an experience to whose power and will. Let him come and drink from the fountain of the water of life. Amen. Now that's true, friends. That's grass. Do you have that up here? Oh, it's smart of me. I said that one time. Someone said, somebody wrote me some letters. Said, what's that grass? Oh, but you know what it is up here. Yes, sir. Oh, but brother, I tell you, it'll straighten out. It'll make you live, right? That's true. Just get down there and stay till it's over. And just straighten out with God. Yes. Sin. That day, you have that promise, you believe it. With all his heart, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. The wise man came and didn't have a newspaper. And 8 days later, the mother comes to the temple for offer the turtle dove, the pigeons for the purification, circumcision of the child. And now here comes Jesus, time closing. Here comes Jesus, his first time in the temple, in the arms of his little mother. They tell me his swaddling cloth was made out of the wrapping that went on the back of the yoke of an ox that was hanging in the stable. And then we can put on a $500 meat coat and stick our nose up in the air if it's drowned and rains to think we're somebody. And our Savior, the God of heaven, came and wrapped in his swaddling cloth. The foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not a place to lay. And then we think we're somebody. Can drive a car better than Jones and this. Our starter kids can definitely get that car, too. Or get a better television or something. Stay home on Wednesday night from prayer meeting. Get the church that's taken to watch We Love Susie or something like that on nonsense on the television. That shows how much you love God. I tell you, brother, if what we need to revive, that's just exactly that's what we need to do, to get back to God. Yes, sir. When you show up, your action shows what it is. People's actions show. This is that. You love the world and the things of the world about it, and the love of God not leaving you.
Or you join the church, that's right.
But this is what we're talking about. You don't join this, you're born into it. I've been in the Branham family 51 years, really, as he joined the family. Well, I was born in it. I was a Branham first. That's what you are, a Christian. You're born into it. Church of the Living God. You're born into it by birth. You're a Christian by birth. Now, Jesus came into the temple. I can imagine those mothers around here, you know. All of the rest of the ladies with their little booties and their little needlework, you know, and all done their little fancy blankets and the society, you know, talking about. The first thing you know, in comes Mary, back in this little baby with this swap and so wrapped around the yoke of an ox. Well, I hear something. Look at it. See that boy over there? You know, I can make that wrong. But I say, yeah, look at that woman. You know what? She married, that baby is born out of holy wedlock. Don't tell me, where is the little smoke they're trying to be by somewhere? Yes, sir, I'll tell you, boy. That's always good. Yeah, I tell you, she's one of them. You better watch her, see? Keep your distance from her. That's the way the lukewarm believer tries to do to the real believer. Oh, he's lost his mind. Went off on the deep end. There's something wrong. I trust God for this. He said, oh, the days of miracles is past. No such thing as divine healing. All right. But in her little heart, she knows who that baby belongs to. She knows. It stores her man born in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He knows what he's saying. He knows what revelation, who's giving that revelation. If Paul said, I'm going to come to you preaching you in typing words of man, and it's your wisdom, it's your faith that he built in the wisdom of man, but I've come preaching to you the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it. Simple and plain, just plain to believe it, that's all. God says so, and that's settled. That's the whole thing. She knows who that baby belongs to. No matter what the address is, not, he said, keep your distance. Don't go around. Don't have anything to do with her. She just keep away from her. She didn't care whether they did or not. Didn't make her forget.
Yeah,
that's right. She knows what, when you've got the Holy Ghost, she knows what happens. You know where it comes from. This comes from some seminary. Well, both got the same dead places for them. So, then she don't want to see something. She's watching, said yesterday, you know, she went walking on like that, not paying attention, talking to her baby. She didn't have time to associate with that all in society. That's what the regular church did. They got the ladies' society, the man's society, this society, ball games, shoot suckers, and everything else. Prayer meetings and left off. No more. And the Holy Ghost promised he had only sealed those who died and died for the abominations done in the city. Could you mark out on your hand 10 people tonight in this city to sign and crying day and night for the wickedness and things done in the city? Does anybody in this audience know where you put your fingers on? 5 people that died and cried day and night for the sin. Well, now the Bible says, set a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations in the city. That's right. That's it. See, no more prayers for lost souls. It's all gone. We join church and settle down. See, that's how we get. This whole sin is so sweet, and if he got to get more before the world, that's what it does. And this grass is like the old revolver slide used to be. And it's doctrine. The devil does that. Now, brother, let's just come back off of his territory. Let's come back to God. Come back to the altar. Rebuild the altar again. It's been torn down. Build up your own. Take them cards off the table and all the old love story magazines. Open up the Bible. Read the Bible. Pray. Just don't get out and say, bless my family, Mary, Joe, John, and all of them. Get to bed. No, sir. Stay there with God. Oh, my. Amen. You know what song you sing? There are times I'd like to be all alone. I just tell him all my troubles, all alone. That's what we need again. That's what that kind of meeting, that kind of a church, that's the kind of church that brings down the blessings of God. I'm sure your pastor would appreciate every member becoming like that. How it is, and how it would be if the church could just be like that again. And now, he's coming along with this baby. Now, there's Christ in the temple. All right, if Christ is in the temple, and God has revealed to Simeon that it was he's going to show him the Christ before he dies. Well, I think if Christ is in the temple, it's time for the Holy Spirit to go to work on sinning. Don't you think so? Let's think it's Monday morning. Now, how many little babies would be born? It's about 2.5 million people in Israel then. And I suppose there would be at least hundreds of babies born every night. And every 8 days they had to be circumcised and offering purification. All right. Here they are tonight, Monday morning. All the signets back in the office, a region of scroll. Let's see, he picked up Isaiah. He begins to read down Isaiah 9:6, and the other child is born, the son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Government of Death on his shoulders. Oh, who could that be? About that time the Holy Spirit said, rise up, man. Rise up. Where are you going to be? Just rise up. Well, where shall I go? No, just stand up. That's all I want you to do. That's the way God wants you. Just to speak in class. That's what you want to do this week. When God speaks, act. Do it. Say, go see so-and-so about the other church. Act. Do it. Stand up. That's all. Right. What next? Stop walking. What about it? Walk. I'm going to do the lead and you do the walk. Here he comes. I see you're not working. Well, I know this is the Holy Ghost. So he talked to me before. Yes.
Yeah.
You are me, don't you? Yeah. You be sons of God, led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here he comes walking. Walking through the temple, not knowing where he's going, just led by the Holy Ghost. Now, he comes over and goes down to thousands of people everywhere. Here he hits this line of circumcision of the children, coming walking right down along this line. He sees this little woman, everybody's keeping their distance from him. He walks up. The Holy Spirit made his heart beat real fast, you know. Oh, he leads you to the promise, yes. If he gives you the promise and you believe in divine healing, he leads you right into it. If he leads in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he leads you right into it. Where is that? He'll lead you right into it. Now, he's got him on your side. Then he reaches over, takes that baby out of his mother's arms, raises up his hands, and says, God, let your servant depart from me. According to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Way back over the corner, an old blind woman named Anne. She was a prophetess. Anne was a prophetess. She'd been blind for years. She sat there and she also waited and believed on the consolation of Israel. Yes. She believed that that prophet was coming. Yes. And she was believing. She was sitting there and the Holy Ghost said, Anna, stand up. Amen. And those other spirits were always led in the right mind. Stand up, Anna. And here comes this old blind woman. But pardon me, sir. Pardon me, madam. I'm sorry. Led by the Holy Spirit. Where are you going, Anna? I don't know. I'm just late. First thing you know, she comes right straight to where she's standing. She's saying, Lord, let thy servant depart from me. She likewise, the Holy Ghost come upon her, and she begins to prophesy about the God. All for our sisters. If the Holy Ghost will lead a blind, how much more can he lead us, although we are becoming blind, let him lead us. That's the fountain. For there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from you and his name, for a sinner to constitute the blood of all who are. You believe that?
Yes.
God bless you. Are you expecting something to happen?
Yes.
Time is long now. You set the lovely audience up and speak that hour yes to you, but my time is up. And let's be expecting God to give us a great revival. Will you join with me in prayer for that purpose? Will you do it? Let's bow our heads. Well, minister, brethren, I know you all are expecting. We're here to work together as a unit of God. Let nothing stand in our way now. Church, we're here to work with you, all of you. Ones that belong to the assemblies of God and the Church of God and the United Pentecostals and whatever you might be, we don't care what brand you wear. We're just leading as God is with us. Join together now, one heart. Our Heavenly Father, these broken up words and little talks here just to kind of get all the fear and starchiness away from your church, just to kind of break up the follow-down. To lay a foundation here, or not lay a foundation, but to build up all the foundations already laid in Christ Jesus. What these people have been taught to believe down to the years, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we join our hearts and our prayers together, the Bible said in the 4th chapter, I believe, of the Acts of the Apostles, when the people had come together and made a report, then they prayed with one accord, and the building was shook when they were still together.
and they spoke the word of God to Moses. Oh God, we go along here today with this wonderful name, in that one, as Pentecostal believers. Witnessing that we've been born again, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit leads us. Then, Lord, the church is weakening and falling away and coming down. Oh God, what a condition. Revive us, O Lord. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and bring forth the refreshing and due gospel of mercy from above. Oh God, revive our community here. Revive the whole city. Revive the churches now. Revive the Methodists. Revive the Baptists. Revive all of us, Lord. And oh God, may it begin right here in this congregation. May there be such a reviving and awakening among us, Lord, the Holy Ghost taking our hearts and tearing us apart and squeezing from us the precious ointment that He would desire for our church to be anointed with. Grant it, Lord. Bless us now. Forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings. God, may there not be a sick person in this meeting or what will be here. Grant it. May there not be one person that's sinful or unbeliever ever come to this meeting but what will be saved. Grant it, Lord. May He use God. Go to every church, throughout your community, every place, down to the ballrooms, and bring conviction upon sinners. And may the Christians go forth testifying, saying, come to me, come to me. We've never seen anything like it. Grant it, Lord. May it be a great roar through this country, and God getting glory out of it. Grant it, Father. Bless your precious shepherds. I ask again, Pastor. Standing up here on the platform, come up. Never seen in my life. Lord God, they're standing here to make a witness that they too are believers. They're here to put in their part, to put their shoulder to the wheel. Our hearts are burning and yearning, Lord, to see the Spirit of God move among us. Grant it. Do this, Lord, Father. We commit ourselves to you in thanksgiving. For in His glory we ask it. Now, all that's in here that's sick and needy, raise up your hands right now. Just raise up your hands. All right? I want you to lay your hands over on one another. Just lay your hands over on each other. Now, don't pray for yourself. You pray for the person you got your hand on. They're praying for you. I like that. All things are small. Now, in our hearts, let them just think. I can see a bunch of disciples around a boy with epilepsy. I hear Andrew say, step back, boys. I'll show you how I've done it down at Capernaum. When I say I've got epilepsy down, here's the way I've done it. But it didn't work. Simon Peter said, well, now, here's the way I've done it down at Joppa. I'll show you how I've done it down there. And it didn't work. But they have to look coming down the hill. There's someone walking quietly. Maybe not a big giant of a man that says no things he desires. But there's something about him. He knows what he can see him. And he raised to him his father, the child of the Lord. Have mercy on my son. He's very subject to the devil. I brought him to your disciples and they could not hear him. Jesus said, I can if you believe, for all things are possible for the man that believes. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That same man when he left the world, our Savior, the last words he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them who believe. The last sign he said, is that they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Now there's a believer, got their hands laying on you. A believer that believes in you. Jesus made the statement, these signs shall follow them, believers. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, if you believe with all your heart, don't doubt that if you pray the prayer of faith, then the one that you have your hands on is praying for you. I believe. Our Heavenly Father, we lay our hands by faith upon the sick and the afflicted and ask that your grace and mercy will supply everything that they have need of. They're praying, Lord, just the way they do. They love you and they believe in you. I pray, Heavenly Father, with all my heart that you'll break every fetter of unbelief. As for every evil spirit, may they not be able to stand in the building, Lord. Light it away.
May nothing but the pure, unadulterated faith in God be in every heart of us now. May the devil be defeated in our lives. We know he is defeated because he is the defeated being. And Satan, I turn to you now and say this, that you are defeated. You're not afraid of us, but you're afraid of the ones we're seeking about. You have lost every bit of power you ever had. You were defeated in Calvary. Jesus Christ, God's Son, triumphed over every enemy. He conquered all sickness, all death, hell and grave. He conquered every victory that you ever had. And you're nothing but blood. And we're calling your blood tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn these wounds, sir. Holy Father, and expect to be healed. Power of God, presence, believers in your hands, lay on one another. Satan, leave them. Come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. They refuse to die. And they shall dwell because God said so. God promised it. We're expecting it. And we know it shall be so. For Satan is defeated and God has preeminence. And we know that it's so. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name for it to be so. For God's glory. And this day shall be with God. Just keep believing now in all your heart. Lord, I believe that you heal me right. I believe because I laid my hand on this man here, he laid his hand on me, on this woman, she laid her hand on me. I was led to do that. I was led to lay my hand on this person. They were led to lay their hands on me. The same Holy Ghost that told sin, giving the time, led me to do this while we're right here in this place of divine healing. Now, I'm believing, Lord. Satan, you might as well get away from me right now because I'm taking out a seed of Abraham by Jesus Christ, and I take the friend. Just keep believing with all your heart. Well, I ask one of the pastors here, one of the brethren here, if you will, if you'll come off for prayer, one of the pastors here, come take the service over one of you. All right, sir? And so, why don't you keep yourself shut in just a few moments of God? I want to ask you now, as you move your hands back to one another and say, I believe and I'm taking right now as my healer, and no matter what Satan ever tries to tell me, I'm going to believe that God makes you well. Raise up your hand. Say, I'm not accepting. Raise up your hand. God bless you. That's the way to do it. Keep that kind of faith on and you'll see the exceedingly abundantly above all that we believe and do or think. Until I see you tomorrow night, here's the pastor. God bless you.